Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
I started to pay very careful attention to what I was saying. I don't know if that happened voluntarily or involuntarily, but I could feel a sort of split developing in my psyche. And I've actually had students tell me the same thing that has happened to them after they've listened to some of the material that I've been describing to all of you. But I split into two, let's say. And one part was the old me that was talking a lot and that liked to argue and that liked ideas. And there was another part that was watching that part, like just with its eyes open and neutrally judging. And the part that was neutrally judging was watching the part that was talking and going, that isn't your idea. You don't really believe that. You don't really know what you're talking about. That isn't true. And I thought, that's really interesting. And that was happening to like 95% of what I was saying. And so then I didn't really know what to do. I thought, okay, this is strange. So maybe I've fragmented and that's just not a good thing at all. I mean, it wasn't like I was hearing voices or anything like that. I mean, it wasn't like that. Well, people have multiple parts. So then I had this weird conundrum. It was like, well, which of these two things are me? Is it the part that's listening and saying, no, that's rubbish, that's a lie, that's, you're doing that to impress people, you're just trying to win the argument, you know? Was that me, or was the part that was going about my normal verbal business me? And I didn't know, but I decided I would go with the critic. And then what I tried to do, what I learned to do, I think, was to stop saying things that made me weak. I mean, I'm still trying to do that because I'm always feeling when I talk whether or not the words that I'm saying are either making me align or making me come apart. And I think the alignment is the right way of conceptualizing it, because I think if you say things that are as true as you can say them, let's say, then they come out of the depths inside of you. Because, well, we don't know where thoughts come from. We don't know how far down into your substructure the thoughts emerge. We don't know what processes of physiological alignment are necessary for you to speak from the core of your being. We don't understand any of that. We don't even conceptualize that, but I believe that you can feel that. And I learned some of that from reading Carl Rogers, by the way, who's a great clinician, because he talked about mental health in part as a coherence between the spiritual or the abstract and the physical, that the two things were aligned. And there's a lot of idea of alignment in psychoanalytic and clinical thinking. But anyways, I decided that I would start practicing not saying things that would make me weak. And what happened was that I had to stop saying almost everything that I was saying. I would say 95% of it. It's a hell of a shock to wake up and I mean, this was over a few months, but it's a hell of a shock to wake up and realize that you're mostly dead wood. It's a shock, you know, and you might think, well, do you really want all of that to burn off? It's like, well, there's nothing left but a little husk, 5% of you. It's like, well, if that 5% is solid, then maybe that's exactly what you want to have happen. It's a question worth asking. Just exactly what are your motives? Well, you know, maybe they're purer than mine were, and it's certainly possible. I don't think that I'm naturally a particularly good person. I think I have to work at it very, very hard. And I don't necessarily think that everyone is like that. But some people are worse than that. And everyone's like that to some degree. So it's worth thinking about. Just how much trouble are you trying to cause? You know, and the other thing you might think about is that if you're not doing something important with your life, by
wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Your own definition, because that's the game that we're playing. You get to define the terms, at least initially. Maybe you're prone to cause trouble just because you don't have anything better to do. Trouble is more interesting than boring. You know, that's something you learn if you read Dostoevsky. Dostoevsky knew that extraordinarily well. And so if you're not doing something, if you're not pushing yourself to the limits of your capacity, then you have plenty of leftover willpower, energy, and resources to devote to causing interesting trouble. And it's not self-destructive, because what it is an attempt to, it's like the diagnosis of an illness. It's like if that does happen to be the case for you, or to some degree, maybe it's only 10% of you or something, or maybe it's 90%, well then, coming to terms with that is excellent, because then maybe you can stop doing it. And what would be the downside to that? You'd have to give up your resentment, obviously, and your hatred and all of that. And that's really annoying, because those emotions are they're easy to engage in, and they're engaging. And they have this feeling of self-righteousness with them and that goes along with them. But you're not doing this in order to put yourself down. You're doing this in order to separate the wheat from the chaff and to leave everything that you don't have to be behind. You know, it's like it's not obvious to me that people themselves think that they're valuable all the time. Often they don't think that at all. They certainly don't think that often when they're depressed. They certainly don't think that when they're suicidal. They don't really think that when they're ashamed or guilty or frustrated or disappointed or angry or waking up at 3 a.m. and tormenting themselves with their consciences. They don't necessarily think that when they're fighting with their family or when they're upset at work or, you know, when things go wrong in life. And so it's not so bloody obvious that people are inherently valuable. And then you might also notice that it's kind of easy to think that some people are more valuable than others. It's very easy for human beings to think that about other human beings, because no matter where you look in human societies, there are rank orders of value, right? In any hierarchy that we produce that's associated with some ability, we find that some people are so much better at whatever it is that they're doing that it's an absolute miracle, and most people are absolutely dreadful at it. And so, you know, if you were thinking about inherent value as an approximation of skill or competence, then it wouldn't be obvious from the structure of the world that people were inherently valuable in that manner either, because there's such a rank order difference in our ability to do things. You know, and you might say, well, that kind of averages out across things, but I don't think that's a very strong argument either. So it's not obvious where this idea that people are inherently valuable came from. That's a tough one. In fact, I think it's one of the least obvious concepts that human beings have ever come up with, that each of us is to be attributed some divine spark, let's say, that makes us equal in some fundamental way before God, you know, before the reality of the universe itself, even in relationship to our own laws. I mean, if you want a miracle for an idea, I can't think of one that's more unlikely than that. So I've been puzzling over that for a very long time, because I cannot understand how in the world we ever agreed to act as if it was true. It's really something. It's a remarkable fundamental idea. And what's so interesting about it too is that once you have that idea, weird as it is and improbable as it is, and you start to organize your social relationships in accordance with it, well, then they work. My rule, too, is treat yourself as if you're someone responsible for helping. And it's sort of predicated on the idea that regardless of your inadequacies and your malevolence, which, you know, I'm sure you have many inadequacies and no shortage of malevolence, just like everyone else. Regardless of that, you have a moral obligation, so that would be a responsibility, to assume that despite all evidence, that there's actually something of intrinsic worth about you, and that as a consequence, you're duty-bound to treat yourself like that is true. And then it turns out that if you do that, well, then your life gets better. And I don't mean happier exactly, although I would say it gets happier. I mean it gets richer and more meaningful and deeper and more worthwhile, and you become more educated and you become wiser and you treat yourself with more respect and you're a better model for other people and you're a better father or better sister or better mother, whatever it happens to be. And you're less ridden by that guilt that gnaws at you and shame that's there otherwise saying, you're not what you could be, you're not what you could be. And that's a hell of a voice to get rid of, and it's certainly not one that's easy to ignore. So that's a pretty good idea that there's something divine, let's say, that resides within you of ultimate worth. Even as a philosophical statement or a psychological statement rather than a metaphysical statement, it seems to be a precondition for establishing properly harmonious relationships with yourself. And that's, man, that's worth thinking about a lot. Because you could think that in some sense you just own yourself, you know? Because people do kind of make that claim, especially when they're trying to justify, for example, their right to suicide. That, you know, it's your life, it's your body, you're yours to do what you will with. And if that was true, well, then it would seem to me that life would be a lot more straightforward, because you would just tell yourself things that you would instantly obey and believe. So first of all, you'd tell yourself all the things that you were going to do, and then you just run off and do them, which you don't, obviously, because it's much more difficult than that. And then you'd also say, well, enough of the guilt and the shame and the negative emotion and the disillusionment and the vengefulness and all those things that make life hard, the self-recrimination. It's like, what the hell do we need that for? And if we're our masters of our own destiny and owners of our own fate, then why can't we just command to ourselves that that be dispensed with? And, like, that doesn't work. I've never seen anybody able to do that. I mean, you can fool yourself for very brief periods of time into thinking that that might work, but it doesn't work. And that's strange. And this is one of the reasons I love the psychoanalysts, say, because they were really the people, apart from the religious types, who figured out that whatever you are, you're not a unitary spirit that's under your own dominion. You know, you're something like a loose unity of a multiplicity of spirits, many of which are doing their own thing, which you're striving to bring into some form of unity. But even that unity isn't something that's under your control in any real sense. It's a unity that has its own nature that you have to exist in relationship to.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.